I return your attention to the first lesson. Jacob was alone. He'd spent the whole day getting everyone across the river, two wives, two maids, 11 children, flocks, herds, everything he owned, sent ahead into the darkness toward a brother he'd betrayed 20 years ago and had never stopped fearing. And when the logistics were all done, when there was nothing left to manage and no details left to arrange, he was alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. No warning, no storm, no divine pyrotechnics, no angel with a flaming sword, no burning bush announcing its presence, just a man who grabbed him in the dirt. The real fights we face don't announce themselves. They don't send a calendar invite. They show up. After everyone you love is already on the other side, and it's just you and the ground in the dark. Let's start with the easy part, because it's honest, even though it's easy. We have enemies. Don't pretend you don't. Some Christians like to pretend that they have no enemies. They are lying to you and to themselves. We have enemies, actual ones, names, offices, money, microphones, doing actual damage to actual people right now. You've got your list. Feel free to name them in your head if you need to. I'll give you a moment. But that's not the sermon. That's just another Tuesday morning. Here's the harder part, the place that the text will not let us skip. Jacob has an enemy too. A real one, Esau, the brother he betrayed more than once. After 20 years of dread, he has spent a whole day spent sending gifts ahead. He's a man trying to buy his way out of a grave he dug for himself. But the enemy he actually wrestles all night until his hip comes unhinged in the socket isn't Esau. This isn't the fight he spent the day preparing for. It's something else. Something that finds him in the dark when the logistics have run out. Most of us spend our lives half braced for the fight we can see coming down the road. But the fight that actually gets us is the one we never planned for. The grief that outlives the sympathy cards and the I see you looks. Fear that wakes you at 3 a.m. The slow, nauseating discovery of what you're capable of when you're cornered. Or the parts of yourself you've spent 40 years managing around instead of actually wrestling with. Jacob had spent the day handling Esau. He spent the night getting handled by something he never saw coming. What does he do when he's grabbed in the dark by the real battle of his life? Try to escape? Nah. When the fight grabs him in the dark, he holds on and he doesn't let go. His hip is wrenched right out of its socket. Let that sit with you for a moment. Because it's not a metaphor. I'm not going to say, well, this is what the hip really indicates. That's cartilage tearing and a man screaming into the dirt. Still, he gasps, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's not habitual stubbornness, and I don't think it's grit. It's the shout of a man who, for the first time in his conniving, grasping life, has figured out that the only way out is through. Not around, not negotiated the way he negotiated Esau's birthright or his uncle's flocks. Instead, he holds on through the pain, through whatever realizations and truths he's actually grappling with. The challenger asks his name, Jacob. And right there in the dirt, he gets renamed Israel, the one who has striven with God and with humans and prevailed. Prevailed is the word. Not survived, not endured, prevailed. And he limps for the rest of his life. Both of those are true at the same time, prevailed and limps because of it. Here's the confession that most of us keep locked in the dark of our own silence, our own souls. Somewhere underneath, deep down inside of us, we believe the limp means we lost. We believe that if the faith really took, if the healing really worked, if we grappled and won, we would walk away clean, no mark, no hitch in our steps. That's what we deeply believe. And when we don't, when we're still carrying the scar months or years later, some part of us quietly files that as failure. Proof we didn't do it right. Proof that the prayer bounced off the ceiling. But this text doesn't allow for that mental failure filing. Jacob prevailed and Jacob limped. Genesis sets those two sentences down side by side without apology or explanation. The limp isn't what is left over because the blessing didn't quite work. The limp is the cost of actually being in the ring instead of managing the fight from a safe distance. And every one of us holding on to something all night instead of letting go early carries some version of that hitch in our step. It's not damage. It's evidence that you were there. Jacob asks the wrestler his name, and he doesn't get an answer. Well, not the answer he wants. Why is it that you ask my name? That's all he gets. No name, just the blessing, and the limp, and the slowly rising sun. Let's sit with that refusal for just a moment. It's easy to name Esau. It's easy to name the enemy with a face and an office and a microphone. It is infinitely harder and infinitely more terrifying to name what's underneath. The greed that isn't any one person's fault, just the air we all breathe and that becomes a part of us. The racism that doesn't wear a hood just shapes who gets believed and who doesn't. The misogyny and classism that determine who gets the benefit of the doubt and who doesn't. The shame that we carry that we don't dare face. The hopelessness that sticks our feet to the floor. Ask that wrestler its name and you won't get a clean answer. It won't hand you an explanatory pamphlet. It will just keep holding on. But if you're like Jacob, so will you. And somewhere in that suffocating friction, you find out what your soul is actually made of. Now, there is a danger here, because the dark makes monsters of us all. Locked in a wrestling match with something that won't give its name, it is terrifyingly easy to become what's got hold of you, to fight cruelty with cruelty, to fight contempt with contempt, to To come out the other side a stranger to the face in the mirror when the face in the mirror is the one you've been wrestling with all along. That's worth naming, too. Even briefly, because the text is honest about it, Jacob wasn't some innocent ambushed by evil. He'd spent his whole life taking what wasn't his. Maybe us too. So where does the story leave us? It's not a very cheerful story, put that way, is it? Like most Bible stories, like most human truths, it doesn't resolve neatly. And I will alert you, although luckily our rector does not tend to do this, but there are preachers who will tell you that every Bible story ends neatly. Have you ever known a story that ended neatly, that was real? Jacob names the place Peniel. I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Not, notice, I understand how the universe works now. Not, I finally got all my answers. Just, I'm alive. Something happened here that I'll be limping from until the day I die. And somehow, against all odds, in the dirt, in the dark, that is grace. The sun rose on him as he crossed Penuel, limping. That's the whole of it. No tidy Sunday school lesson, no vanquished enemy, just daybreak. And a human being walking into the light, changed, marked, blessed, and breathing, all four together, none of them canceling the others out. My friends, whatever you're wrestling right now, and it's not the same thing as the person sitting next to you, don't let go before the light comes. Not because letting go is weak, but because you haven't been blessed yet. Stay in it. Let it cost you something real. And when the sun comes up and you're still limping, let that be exactly what it is. Not proof you lost. Proof you were there and held on. Amen.